It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Hi, this is Jay Horowitz with the latest edition of the Amazing Mets Alumni Podcast. And we have two special guests, Roger McDowell and Jesse Orozco. Guys, 1986, with 108 games, a lot of tough wins and tough losses, but what do you guys remember about July 22nd, 1986 in Cincinnati? I'll go with you first, Roger.
You're asking me something on July 22nd, 1986, so that was, what, 35 years ago?
Well, I'll give you a clue. We're playing the Reds. It was 3-1 in the ninth inning. Keith Hernandez is up. It's a fly ball in right field. Dave Parker drops it. We tie the score 3-3. And then you and Jesse did something probably something I've done for a while. You alternated pitching the last three or four innings. What do you guys remember about that game?
Well, I remember the fight. I remember because the dugouts in Cincinnati are so close to the field, and it's basically a one step up on, and you're on the field. And so we, you know, I think it was we were in the bullpen in Cincinnati those days. You were on the bench, and if you had to go warm up, you ran down to the bullpen area. So we were all on the bench, and I think we were at that end where the third base fight happened between Eric Davis and Ray Knight. And so I'm not sure how many fights we had that year.
A lot.
We had quite a few. So they all kind of run – not they run together, but I don't know how many we had, but it was just kind of like a daily thing for us.
But in the last couple innings, you guys, you know, I guess we lost. Kevin Mitchell was ejected, and so was Ray, and Gary Carter had to go to third base, and Pitcher. And you guys alternated, you pitched and went to the outfield, and that's really doesn't happen too often these days.
Well, the thing about it is that Jesse's a really good athlete, and Jesse and I would have competitions in the outfield during batting practice. And he would pick a field, and I, you know, center field, and I'd pick right field, or vice versa, or whatever it was. And we would shag the entire batting practice. And so, you know, from a conditioning standpoint, that's where we got our conditioning. And plus, it was a lot of fun. So, I guess at that point, you know, Davey and Mel Stoudemire and Bud Harrelson and Bill Robinson and Vern Hoshite, and all those guys got together and said, listen, you know, we don't have enough players, but we got two pretty good athletes that they can put in the outfield and that can also pitch and alternate. So that's what we did. I mean, I went from a pitcher to right field to left field to pitcher to left field back, and Jesse did the same thing. You know, and I remember, obviously, the line drive that Tony Perez hit to Jesse in right field, that he got the put out in the outfield. And I remember the player that hit the ball to me in left field for a fly ball that I – and we were both gotten put outs in the outfield was Max Venable.
Yeah.
The problem was is that as I was camped under the ball, it was more left field than center field, but it was toward Lenny in center. And so Lenny came over, and as the ball's getting ready to drop in my glove, he steps in front of me, actually stepped on my foot and caught the ball. And I said, dude, what are you doing? He goes, just wanted to be sure. So
Jesse, what are you doing?
It was a lot of fun. You know, it was just another part of the game that we did, and we, you know, like I said, Jesse was a really good athlete, and I was a pretty good athlete, and so the fact is that we had the ability to play other positions.
What do you remember about it, Jesse?
Well, a lot of excitement, but like Roger had said, you know, with the ball being dropped and continuing the game. We didn't know a situation was going to be like this, that Roger and I were going to be out. But I tell you, I know Roger had fun. I know I had fun, something we've never done before. So that was a great thrill about that. The brawl was pretty amazing. I know I ran over there as soon as the punches, I turn around and I see Cal Daniels and another guy coming straight at me. And I said, I grabbed them both by the head and I said, we just go down to the bottom.
That's why Mike Tyson loved to see him to visit us that year because he liked the way we fought. I mean, I remember the play that Eric Davis slid into Ray and he got up and Ray just clocked him.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, the thing is a lot of people didn't know, and actually I didn't know at the time, Ray was a Gold Gloves junior Gold Glove boxing champion for the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I didn't know that at the time, but I sure found out real quickly that he's got a real quick right hand. And so, like I said, we were at the end of the bench, and we ran out there, and like Jesse said, you know, you get to the bottom of a pile, and I felt the, you know, there was an arm around my neck, and then I feel somebody pulling me out by my feet, and it's Bill Gullickson. And so he pulls me out by my feet, and I'm sliding along the AstroTurf on my back, and I look up, and it's Bill Gullickson pulling me out, and I go, "Hi, Bill," and he goes, "What are you doing in there?" I was a skinny little, you know, guy. I shouldn't have probably been at the bottom of the pile.
Jesse, did Davey tell you what he was going to do in the dugout? How did you set the plan for what was going to happen? You know, he would alternate back, lefty, righty, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, what happened was when the situation, Davis got on base, and he has lightning speed. So he was on his own. Trying to steal as many bases as possible. Well, Davey had told me, he goes, just let Eric go. Get your batters out. And so that was our job from there on. Roger and I, you know, switching in and out. It was amazing.
You know, Jay, I think he played matchups a lot. And probably if nobody was on base and, you know, Jesse had two outs, he was going to face a right-hand hitter. He let him face him and vice versa for me. But I think, and it's pretty much how we closed all year, where we matched up. Mm-hmm. Davey matched up the end of the game based on, you know, who started the game and how their lineup fell. But rather than game by game, he had to do it by hitter and inning by inning. And so that's where, you know, you had the kind of the merry-go-round, the carousel of Jesse and myself going from, you know, pitcher to right field and left field. And the thing is, and then maybe not a lot of people remember, in the batting order, Jesse and I batted back-to-back. I think we batted three and four in that game, and it came up to a situation later in the game, and it was pretty, like Jesse said, it was pretty intense, but it was a lot of fun.
Jesse, I don't know if you remember in the 14th inning of the game, you actually walked before Howard Johnson hit a three-run homer, so you were on base. You did it all that game. You pitched, you ran, and you played the outfield. You remember you were on base that time?
Yeah, I did. I did a walk, which is something I don't do often. I do a lot of strikeouts. I knew that when I got to the plate, but that's where the game was for me. But that walk, I guess, helped out because Howard's right behind, or was it the next batter?
You know what? Refresh my memory, Jay, because I was right in front of Jesse. So did I strike out trying to move the runners over?
I think you struck out. I know what you were trying to do.
Yeah, I was trying to. They called it the slash play.
Yeah.
And I never knew the signs. So I would always look down at Bud Harrelson on the corner of my eye, you know, if the runners were going to go or not, or I'd look at the runners to see what I was supposed to do, and nobody moved. So, I mean, I think I struck out, and then Jesse walked, and then Hojo hit the big home run.
Guys, how hard was it?
Who struck that, me or Hojo?
Which one? Yeah, you.
How hard was it in 86? You know, I think the key series at St. Louis, we swept the Cardinals in four games, and really nobody caught us after that. How hard was it keeping up the pressure all year long? We knew we were going to win the pennant, you know, and really the team really hated us. You mentioned we had a lot of fights, a lot of, you know, stuff on the field. Like Mike Tyson came to visit, like our team, how hard was it, you know, playing when we're winning by so many games? Rod, do you want to take it first? Or?
Go ahead, Jess.
Well, first of all, I mean, the most important thing through that, we were kind of running through everybody, was health. We had to make sure that everybody stayed healthy, everybody's going forward. And we had such good depth, you know, with pinch hitting, and we had two center fielders, two right fielders, two third basemen, two shortstops. And so we had to make sure that everybody stayed healthy. If somebody got hurt, we're still confident that, you know, we had a backup at one point.
What do you think,
Rod? You know, you think about it, it's like Kevin Mitchell was our fifth infielder and fourth outfielder, okay? And fast forward a little bit, now Kevin Mitchell goes and is on the verge of winning the Triple Crown a few years later. Rick Aguilera was the swing guy on our pitching staff. He'd pitch, you know, if we needed a start, or he'd be a long guy. And then he goes up and he saves 300 games in Minnesota. I mean, we had a really good team. We had, like Jesse said, platoons at second base, platoons in left field, and platoons at third base. And the thing was, you know, whether it was Howard and Ray at third, or Tuff and Wally at second, or any other platoons, it was like, you know what? This is about us collectively winning a baseball game and then going on and eventually winning the World Series. But that's what it was about. There wasn't any individualism. I mean, we had co-closers. Jesse and I were tandem closers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's really
21, something like that.
Yeah, you had 22 saves, Jesse had 21.
And we had 23 plus saves between us. And it was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I mean, as far as we were concerned about winning a baseball game, and we did that on a daily basis. That was our only concern. And however we got it done, we got it done. And we had fun at the ballpark, and we had fun after the game.
You guys were the normal closers. Usually the closer knows when he's coming in. Jesse, it was hard going. We go to the bullpen. Is it Roger's day or my day? It was hard to figure that out or get used to what Davey was going to do.
It was both our days because Davey had us gunned and ready to go all the time. I've always told a lot of people about Roger. Where, thanks to Roger, he helped me break a record. 1,252 games. It takes a bullpen of guys to help each other out. If one guy tries to do the whole load, it gets a lot tougher. But, you know, Roger, he used to go for the ERA title. He threw so many innings this season. But I thank him for that. I thank him for all my favors. But to do it yourself, that's a big load. And Davey had something in his mind right there, and he put it together. And so I think that's what really helped out right there, and fortunate on that.
What took about another game, game six in Houston in the playoffs, we covered 16 innings really with four pitchers. It was Bobby O, Rick, Roger pitches five innings, you pitched three innings. Do you ever think that would happen today to the bullpen? You know, 16 inning games and only four pitchers would pitch? Probably be triple that. Roger, you want to take it first? Or?
There wouldn't be enough pitchers on the pitching staff. No, they're rotten. But again, the game has changed, and it changed from the 60s to when we played, and so it's just a progression, and you know, you deal with it. But I mean, that's what we did at the time. We just pitched until we were told not to pitch, or we quit getting people out. And so, you know, to Jesse and your point before about, you know, how Davey went into a game or a series. There were always teams with a higher left-handed of hitters in the lineup, and those were usually Jesse team or switch hitters. You know, those were Jesse's teams, and I had the predominantly, you know, right-handed hitting lineups. And so, but the thing was, is it depended on how the game progressed, how they pinch hit during the course of the game, who was up, and how the lineup was. But you know, from the standpoint of going to the game six and, you know, covering 16 innings, I mean, that's just what we did. I mean, it was like, we don't want to face Mike Scott tomorrow because he's already gotten into us for two games. He eventually was the MVP of the series. But it was we want to end this tonight. And fortunately, we scored three runs off of Nepper and their bullpen in the ninth. And then, you know what? The rest of it was on just fumes. And I know Jesse was on fumes because he'd already pitched multiple games in that series. And now he's being asked to pitch multiple innings to save us in game six. And so, it was, like I said, until you stop getting them out, you're out there.
Jesse, let me ask you probably the most famous mound meeting in the history of mound meeting. We're in the 16th inning. They had first and second. The runners were on base. And Gary and Kid came out to talk to you. You know what exactly? I heard different variations of what was said to you at that time.
I think there's so many stories on that. I know when that situation came and they came out to the mound, they were kind of looking at each other, Keith and Gary. I just kept floating around. I said, I'm trying to get, I want to keep my thoughts together. So I didn't see a lot going on. You know, everybody asked me this question about, I was kind of worried about, what I had to do right now at that time. It was a pretty tight spot.
We could do the right thing, Jess.
You could hear yourself think, Jess, right? You were out there on the mountain, and there you got, the Astrodome, you got 55,000 plus people, and they're screaming. I mean, it's their last hope. And it was like, you can't even hear yourself think. And I know what Jesse's talking about. Right. You try and keep that mindset that, I have a job to do, and I'll be there and I'll listen, but I don't hear you, And so it's kind of like the racehorse with the blinders. You keep the blinders on because you still have that that job to do.
Okay, let me ask a couple of current questions. Being a relief pitcher, what do you think about the extra inning rule when the guy goes to second base in the with nobody out? And the other thing, what's your feelings about what MLB's trying to do this year about checking pitches during a game for substances? Whoever wants to start first.
Well, first of all, I think they're trying to continue to keep the game getting faster. The National League is always the quickest game's over, and American League after that. But I think that's one of the things they're trying to do is to keep the game moving fast. What are you going to do? These are high-paid baseball players. You can't tell them that, hurry up to get the box. They're going out every they can to be the best they can as ball players. So that's kind of a hard thing to do. But as far as at second base, I'm not trying to be mean. Hopefully nobody else here, but that's softball. And I remember my kids were playing softball when they were kids, and if they got to a tie game, whoever scores first wins the game. So it's
There's no more left-handed specialists anymore. And the thing is Jesse, especially toward the end, was considered okay, left-handed specialist. But there wasn't a right-hander that wanted to hit off him either. But I think that was the way the game tried to put people in. So-called identity.
Good question, guys. 35 years in this winning championship. What do you remember? Why do you think the team, the Mets 86 team, was able to win 16 games and come back the way it did on numerous? Whoever wants to start first.
I'll go ahead. We had some trialing seasons before that. In 84, 85, and we learned a lot out of it. To get beat out a couple times in playoffs and have to go back home, it's kind of sour. But we knew that we had a good team. We knew that something was going to break through at some point, and gladly it did. But honestly, I thought we could have maybe had an extra one or two series, through that era. But we did have a great team, and definitely, I mean, Roger and I will say that we're proud of this team we had and would never trade them.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, it was cool because, I guess, as we said before, you know, you had a collective team of individuals that weren't individuals that wanted to do one thing, and that was win a baseball game. You know, our leader for me was Keith at first base, and everything pretty much revolved around the way he presented the game to us, especially me being in my second year. Obviously, Jesse was a little older, and there were older guys, but I thought there was a really, really good mix of veteran guys, of young guys, and obviously really, really good baseball players. And so, you know, you had the two guys that were drafted, I think in the early 80s, right? Straw and Doc were drafted in 80, 81,
mm-hmm.
82. So I'm like, hey, now they're, you know, now they're stars on a championship caliber baseball club in less than 5 years. And so, and then you add the all-star behind the plate that we got after the 85, was it 84 season? The nice. Winner of 80, going 84. Into 85. And then you had the veteran leadership of Ray Knight, you know, the tenacity of Lenny Dykstra and Wally Backman, the consistency of Mookie Wilson, the, you know, consistency of Rafael Santana. I tell you what, that's an underrated shortstop right there is Rafael Santana, because he didn't make a ton of super highlight reel film plays, but he made every routine play. And when the ball was hit to him and he got a glove on it, you knew that runner was out. And, you know, for him also to hit eighth, he has, you know, a lot of pitchers, opposing pitchers kind of relaxed a little bit. And Rafi took care of a lot of game winners with his own ability to hit. So, I mean, you know, it was just a bunch of guys that were – really good athletes, really good baseball players that collectively came together, and you know, the year was identifiable for us because, you know, we're down to our last out, last strike, with down two runs in Game 6 of the World Series, and somehow pulled that one out. And so it was I won't say a team of destiny, but there were a lot of things that pointed to us winning that World Series when you look back over the course of the season.
Hey, gentlemen, I appreciate your time, Roger, Jesse, and wish you all the best at closing. I just want to say one thing. On behalf of all the 86 Mets family, just want to extend our prayers to Howard Johnson and his family and his son, Glenn, and his wife, Kim, on behalf of the accident befall his grandson, Tanner. We wish him all the best, Howard. We're all thinking of you. And again, guys, thank you for coming on, Jesse, Roger, and it's a pleasure. Hope to see you soon.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Jay.
Yes, sir.
And there is a GoFundMe page for Tanner, right?
There is a GoFundMe page, yes.
There's a GoFundMe page. And, you know, this is a family that's been devastated by this this happening, unfortunate accident. And, you know, they need some help. So GoFundMe, Tanner Johnson.
Yeah. Send our prayers to everybody. Roger, Jesse, thank you for your time.